CliffCentral.com.
Going to be a lot of talk about the budget today, that's for sure, and a lot of people thinking about their money, worrying about what's going to happen in terms of tax. And the one thing we've been trying to make clear to you over the last couple of weeks is that there are ways that you can find to make your money work a little bit better. There are certain investments you can make which will save you tax. And one of those is the Section 12J stuff we've been talking about with Grovest. Now this morning we're going to talk a little bit about the JSE and capital raising. And I thought we'd get in two experts. So we're going to speak to Avi Gordon and to Adrian Erasmus, who are both here today. Hey, gentlemen, how are you?
Morning, how's it?
Good. Are you well?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, all right. So we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with capital raising. So first of all, what is the foundation of your business model, guys? Because we're going to need to find out how you create value for your clients. You want to start off, Avi?
Yeah, sure. So look, what we do, we focus on commercial and industrial properties. So we put up the solar installations for them, mm-hmm. and we kind of make sure that they're able to generate revenue. So typical example, you're a granite factory, you're a manufacturer, you've got a nice roof, you're mm-hmm. not a solar expert, you maybe not sitting on the cash to do it, you don't want to take the risk that it doesn't pay off. What we do is we come in, we install a solar installation for you, we sell you energy at a cheaper rate than municipality, just saving you costs on a monthly basis.
First of all, you sell energy, which sometimes the municipality can't sell you because Eskom is offline, you know. So this is great. It sounds to me like a win-win.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, even in the bigger picture, we're taking strain off the grid, mm-hmm. which is not doing fantastically well at the
moment.
And
is it possible then to sell the excess energy back into the grid as well?
So, I mean, we're kind of heading there. Yeah. We're not all the way across the line. There's a big court case in Cape Town, which is really topical at the moment. But the idea is that going forward, well, we will get to that point. And once we're there, by the way, it's going to be an industrial land grab because you've got tons of roofs all across the country.
Oh, hell
massive
yes.
industrial
so
warehouses.
Get in now, obviously.
Exactly. The problem is you're just sitting on dead investment. But the view is, once those roofs, once you can go on there and just install. Because, you know, now a factory, what do they use? A couple of drills, maybe some lights. Not worth putting up a big solar installation. Hold on, now we can sell back into the grid. All of a sudden,
yeah.
Now that's
and
the
also, it'll take, as you say, take some of the strain off the grid. And people will do anything at the moment to get guaranteed power. And if you can operate, most factories operate during the day, not at night. So it makes sense that you can use that solar energy. If you've got all the space on your roof, it's a sensible decision.
I mean,
I don't see a downside to this. Am I missing anything, Adrian?
No, not at all. So for some of the industrial clients, they're actually limited by their supply from the grid. Mm-hmm. So their transformer can only give them X. And for some of the big industrial consumers, they actually need more electricity. So whether it's because they're expanding or growing or there's a new process, an industrial process that needs to take place, they actually need to incorporate a renewable energy component to their supply because the grid can't supply them the amount of energy that they yeah. need, and the local distribution network can't be upgraded.
All right, so let's talk quickly about the effect of Section 12J on this clean energy environment, because 12J is obviously a specific part of what our tax code allows, where people can score back the entire amount that they invest in terms of their capital investment up front, and they get that back, and they also get the investment. Yes. So this is obviously a major win. That's over and above the energy win that you were just talking about.
Correct. Yes, so the solar's always had its benefits. It's an asset-backed annuity income. There's a lot of investment benefits to doing that. And when you couple that with a Section 12J tax deduction, it purely enhances the returns to the investors.
Okay. What effect has the unreliability of the grid caused in the environment of clean energy? It's obviously created a huge demand.
Yeah, I mean, not only demand, it's created a lot of awareness as well. It's interesting. I mean, I think we all have a friend in the take-a-lot business somewhere. And I got one, and he was telling me that he was looking at the categories that track them, however they do. And solar is one of it is the fastest growing category on take-a-lot. So I think awareness, A, in terms of domestic, but B, in terms of the way forward for the country.
So is this people who are buying that equipment for their own houses?
I think a fair bit of that, probably solar components, a battery, some, you know, solar charging ports, whatever it may be.
Yeah. It makes sense, right? Yeah. I mean, forget about the industrial applications of this and the fact that you guys are talking to businesses. There's also a huge amount to be gained by private individuals thinking about doing this in their own home environments, whether or not you know that's at a scale which will be commercially useful one day.
Correct.
Besides the point, you want to save as much energy as you can.
Yeah, so from that point of view, the energy shortage has really sparked the curiosity in the market. So there's a lot more awareness in South Africa than you'd find in another typical country.
Mm.
Because people are looking for alternatives. You know, what alternative is there to a noisy generator?
Right.
You know, what else can I do when, you know, when load shedding takes place? Or what can I do to reduce my electrical bill?
What are the most interesting trends you guys have picked up on?
The shift to storage in recent years.
Batteries.
Yes. So with the advent of electric cars, which is quite exciting, in the rest of the world at least, we haven't been as fortunate. The large-scale manufacturing of these lithium batteries has really brought down the per-unit cost, mm-hmm. and it's now at the point where there are some commercial applications where it's economic to use them.
It's interesting you mention electric cars, because Elon Musk has come up with this this project that they did in Australia, mm. where they also had batteries for households, which could store quite a lot of power.
Yeah.
And if you have enough of these things, you effectively don't need to tap into the grid at all.
Yes. So there it was quite a unique scenario. They were just trying to do something that you call like peak clipping. Mm-hmm. So at the very peak, either in the morning or in the evening, you try and store more energy during, so you store excess energy during the day or in the middle of the night for that peak.
Mm-hmm.
So in South Africa, we use a system called pump storage. It works out a lot cheaper in the long term because you can build the system and it will last 50 or 100 years with adequate maintenance. But a battery after about 5 to 10 years, it does need replacing.
Hmm. That sounds like a good plan too.
Australia's pretty flat, so they don't have adequate places where they could pump the water very high and then let it flow back down during peak times.
What do you think the future of clean energy is, especially in South Africa?
I mean, I think it's interesting. If you look in the last 12 months, in both the US and the UK, renewable or solar, depends which one you're looking at, has overtaken, you know, fossil fuels.
Mm.
South Africa, average area, gets 2,500 hours of sunshine a year. We're in one of the best positions globally for solar. So wow. It's cheapened. It's the cost of it is really low. It makes a lot of sense.
And that
it's
cost attractive. Is dropping?
So I think solar's almost plateaued. Okay. It's dropped significantly. I mean, if you have to compare the last REAP to now, or the next one that will be, it's going to be a huge change. But batteries are the next holy grail. So solar's actually plateaued, but when batteries come in, it's going to change everything we know. And centralized energy is going to become decentralized. You're not just going to have these, you know, old, slow, inefficient grids. You're going to have hundreds or thousands of microgrids across the country, and that's the future.
Wow. It's obviously bad news for Eskom, because not only are they going to have a supply problem, but they're also going to have a demand problem in the future,
yes.
right?
Yes.
And that business hasn't ever really been tested, because it's been a monopoly.
Yeah. So while the cost of a solar panel has plateaued, the amount of electricity that a single panel generates is increasing over time.
Right.
Yeah, so that's still a big area for improvement. But the cost of an actual panel, because they can only make the glass that thin, it still needs an aluminium frame and so forth.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and because it's on the roof, it can sometimes take, you know, some hail.
Yes.
It has to be able to survive those weather conditions.
Yeah, yeah, and typically you would expect a 25-year warranty. And I mean, you leave that thing in the sun for 25 years.
Yeah, it's sun damaged, it ruins everything.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't even do that to a car or a tile roof.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
What are some of the gaps in the market that you guys think should be filled?
In South Africa, one of the biggest problems that we have is being able to wheel electricity. So that's taking it from a site of generation to a place where it can be consumed. So the problem that we have, especially in high-rise buildings or places where it's very dense in an urban area, is you don't have enough roof space there. But typically, factories or even just farmland, they've got vacant land that can be used to generate electricity. Or
the whole of the Northern Cape we were talking about this morning.
Or just vacant roof space on a factory where they're storing plastics, as an example. So they don't use much of their own electricity, but that could be shifted to a place where they don't have the capacity to generate their own.
Right. And you think that because we've got that availability of space in certain places, we should be able to transport that energy to where it's needed.
Correct. I mean, like the Northwest you just mentioned, they have some of the highest solar yield in the world. I mean, when foreign parties come here and I show them the energy yield that you get in the Northwest, it's 3, 4, 5 times more than they get in Europe. So the same solar system built in Europe generates a fifth of the energy it would have was built in the Northwest.
It's amazing. All right, so do you believe solar is a good fit for Section 12J? And does it align with the core of what 12J is trying to do?
So, I mean, I think if you look at 12J high level, really you want three things that you want to see from anything in 12J. If it's a tax incentive, it's got to boost the economy, right? It's got to create jobs. And most importantly, it's got to create a corporate taxpayer, someone who's going to pay tax a company. Because our corporate taxpayers, by the way, are about 10% of our global counterparts. They contribute 6% to our GDP, as opposed to like 60%, which is a pretty standard across the world. So we're in a frighteningly bad position there. So from a solar or renewable energy side, the way I view it, you know, most of these are 20-year projects at a minimum. So you're taking a 20-year view. You're creating a 20-year-long taxpayer. You're creating indirect jobs all the time, the contractors who are coming on site. And you're boosting GDP. You're really creating local revenue and adding value. So I think it's an absolute perfect fit.
Well, since 2009, Section 12J has been part of South Africa's tax landscape. It's a critical piece of legislation that provides strong incentives for investors to help uplift and grow local SMEs. Aren't you guys doing a capital raise now?
Yeah, finishes in right about now. 48 odd hours.
Okay, so it's lastminute.com.
That's it, absolutely.
Yeah. Get it while it's hot. All right, with just over 6 billion rand under management and over 160 12J funds in existence, thousands of investors have injected capital into local SMEs that play in sectors ranging from hospitality to tourism to what we were just talking about, renewable energy, many more things too. In return, every Section 12J investor receives an immediate tax deduction equal to 100% of the amount they've invested in the first year of their investment. Added to this, 12J funds typically have regular investment returns in the form of dividends, for example. So, there we go. Avi, thank you very much.
Pleasure. Thanks for having
me. And your company's Grovest Energy Limited Fund.
Decentral right? Energy.
Okay, very good. And Adrian, you started your career as an investment analyst at the Tyndale Group, and now you are joined Grovest to do their corporate advisory, right?
Yes.
That's what you're doing.
Yes, I started there about almost 3 years ago now, and then recently I moved over to the fund management role.
Very good. Well, it's good to meet both of you, and thank you for enlightening all of us.
Thank you.
And enlightening and invigorating with solar energy. Let's hope we can sort out this problem. Thank you so much, gentlemen. What a pleasure. All right, that's Section 12J, and that's what you need to know about the latest from Grovest and what they're doing with renewable energy. We are going to hopefully keep you up to date with all of these things as they happen. As I mentioned earlier, Tito's got to go and present his budget to Parliament today, and people are looking at that with eyebrows raised, imagining where exactly he's going to find the money to fill the gap in the budget. We have too little coming in and too much going out. So we'll have to see what the Minister of Finance can do.